Peter says, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And you've heard it discussed, of course, a lot recently with respect to Y2K. We have now completed, we think, 6,000 years since creation. God used 6 days to make creation. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And then he had the seventh day as the Sabbath of rest. Is there a suggestion there? Is there? I surrender. I leave it with you. We don't know, folks, in God's reckoning, whether we are at 6,000 years right now. Nor do we know whether the cutoff of 6,000 years has anything to do... Well, I better not say it that way. Anyway, I'll get off on a tangent if I do. We don't know exactly where we are. We don't know if we're exactly at 6,000 years. But it is possible, since God is so precise in his period of rest, his Sabbath of rest, it will be 1,000 years, no more, no less. Do the other 6 days measure the same length? If so, when do they end? If so, they'll probably end at the end of the tribulation. If so, and we think that we're about 6,000 years now, there's another evidence that we're teetering on the brink. We're almost there. Question 17, who will survive the millennial period to dwell on earth in the eternal state? I think Revelation 27 to 10 again gives you some hint of this. Revelation 21 and verse 3 says, the tabernacle of God is with men. Isaiah 45 and 18 will help you with this. Isaiah 66, 22 and 23 will help you. Evidently, there will be people who will survive the great battle at the end of the kingdom age who are faithful to God in that final assault. And Israel undoubtedly, as Israelites, as the nation of Israel, will be preserved through all of this to inhabit earth eternally. Absolutely. In fact, didn't we just read in Luke 21 that the Lord is going to sit on the throne of David? How long? Forever. Forever. The throne of David is an earthly throne. The throne of David is an Israeli throne. The Lord is the prince, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the prince of David. He is the eternal occupant of Israel's throne. And Israel as a nation will be preserved as God's earthly people eternally. And there can be really very little doubt about that. Question 18. What is the Lord's primary wish and benevolent purpose for Gentile sinners? And I put here 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 to 6, that all men should be saved, that Christ is the mediator between God and man, and he will be testified in due time. That's an interesting statement that's given there in 1 Timothy chapter 2. He is to be testified in due time. In other words, he's going to be revealed in his own time to all men as actually the Savior. You know, sometimes we get a little hollow and a little tired in preaching the gospel, don't we? I do. You sometimes wonder, you know, as you stand before an audience and you look at it and all of them perhaps are Christians, and you get a little discouraged preaching the gospel. But folks, we're preaching an eternal message. We're preaching the only message that really matters, and it is the message that is ultimately going to be revealed in Christ for all men to see, that the gospel of the grace of God was God's message to men. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Christ died for sinful men. Hallelujah. What a message. And the fact that we get a little shop-worn preaching, it doesn't take anything away from it. It's still the greatest that there is. And I'll tell you, when you see a soul saved, you realize what a delight it is. And so it is the benevolent purpose of Christ today that sinners should come to Christ through the gospel and be saved. And that's all he's really waiting for right now, you know. He'd love to see a few more rescued before the door closes. And if there's anyone here tonight who's not saved yet, I'd like to urge you, don't linger. Don't waste your time. You make sure tonight before you go home that you're really in Christ. I mean, when you listen to all you've heard tonight about what's actually going to happen, is there any sense at all in not being a Christian? Is there any rationale in staying outside of Christ? None whatsoever. It's the most unreasonable thing you could possibly do to spend another 5 minutes not sure that you're going to heaven is not worth the risk. Come to Christ. Take Him and be saved. What is the Lord's ultimate purpose for the nation of Israel? Well, I guess we've answered that. Eternal rest in the promised land. And we've given you some scriptures further up where you can look at. And you know, again, you can go way back into Genesis, and you'll find that when God promised the land to Abraham, He promised it to him forever. Did God mean that? Sure did. Promised it to Abraham forever. It was an eternal inheritance for Abraham's descendants through Isaac. In the millennial period, question 20, is the millennial period a permanent condition or a transitory condition in the purposes of God? And the answer is it's transitory. Because it is the bridge that leads between the day of grace, when He is worshipped through the church, to the ultimate creation where He is worshipped unquestionably and eternally, both in heaven and in earth. Because Christ is going to be the recipient of all worship in all the universe for all eternity, bar none. But the kingdom age is a transition period when, by rule of His lordship, He commands worship even from those who are not really saved. As some of them that live in the kingdom age, a lot of them will not really be saved. But they'll have to bow, just like people have to bow under government today when that government demands that they bow. You'll have to bow on April 15, if you're still here, and pay your taxes, for example. You may not like it, but you'll do it, if you're wise, because there is no real alternative. And that's the way it's going to be in the kingdom age. But it's a transitory time. We made it. It's 7:45. Are there any questions? Well, we either didn't get anything across, or we answered everything. I'm not sure which. To me, this book is an endless thrill. It is absolutely fantastic in what is there. I feel as though I know almost nothing of what's between those pages. The more I read, the more I study, the more I thrill to what's in the Word of God. I would suggest to all of you that you constantly read the Word of God for yourselves. It'll feed your soul. It'll thrill your heart. It'll tell you what's going to happen. It'll lead you to your Savior. There's nothing like it. It's the greatest book in all the world. And you know, when I sit at home studying some of these materials like we've gone over tonight, I just have to get down on my knees, and I did early this morning when I was alone, and just thank God again for giving us this book. What a thrill it is. What a wonder it is. And here He is today, while you and I are living, you know, at the end of, I was going to say at the end of the 20th century, well, wherever we are, and He's taking the things that He sealed up in Daniel's day, and He's opening them up to our eyes. And He's saying, look what's going on. Read your paper. Read your news magazines. Watch the TV. But above all, read your Bible. you'll have a roadmap that leads you right into eternity. We're not talking mythology. We're not talking nonsense. We're talking what's in the Word of God. We're talking about what's happening now. We're talking about where we're soon going to be with Christ in glory. Jesus is coming again. Let's pray. Our Father, in the precious name of Thy lovely Son, we thank Thee that He is Lord of all. It will be our pleasure, Father, in the coming day, to bow at the feet of the man who died for us at Calvary, and to grasp him with our eyes, with our minds, and with our hearts, and exclaim to him our joy and our praise when we realize that he gave himself for us, made us his own, and planned all that we've looked at for his glory, yes, and for our good, so that we will spend eternity with him in heaven, so that we will see this earth wonderfully blessed when he is indeed its king, and when we, with all our faults and failures and pains and weaknesses and troubles, are all gone, and like him and with him, we'll bask in the wonders of eternal bliss to endless ages. Oh, Father, we would that these things were more than just words to us, but that they would fill and thrill our hearts every day, so that as we get older, and some of us here are older, and we feel the effects of time and of care, so that as we get older, every day we are focused upon the wonders that lie just ahead. And we look forward to that moment which will dawn upon us at any instant when he will take us home. In my Father's house, he said, are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Father, we thank thee that we know he's coming. We praise thee for him in his precious name. Amen. Thank you, folks. You've been a wonderful audience. Appreciate it. If the Lord will, if he leaves us here 2 weeks from tonight, we'll finish this series. We'll get into the eternal state and try not to go on eternally while we're at it.